Welcome to Shotgun Sports USA. I'm your host, Justin Barker, and I talk to shotgun shooters from all over the world in every discipline, as well as coaches, gun clubs, target setters, vendors, and industry-leading companies that fuel the sport. Check us out online at shotgunsportsusa.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Instagram. Shotgun Sports USA is powered by Winchester Ammunition, the American legend. Also brought to you by Ultimate Shooting Accessories, Rick Hemingway's Promatic Trap Cells, Sound Gear Phantom, Comp and Choke, Clay Shooter Supply, Clay Target Vision, and Cole Gunsmithing. In this episode, we're going to talk about the upcoming national championship, the Super Squad, and an all-new instructional series that's coming out in the near future. Please welcome to the show, Zach Keenbaum, Desiree Edmonds, and Chris Claxton. All right, what's up, guys?
Hey, how's there. It going, Justin?
How's it going?
All right, so we've got something a little different today. I've got people here with me. Zach Keenbaum, Desi Edmonds,
hey,
Chris, and Chris Claxton. What's up, guys?
Good to meet you, Justin.
Yeah, it's the first time I've ever met Chris. And if anybody has ever heard Sporting Clays, you've always went to YouTube and looked it up. Well, you've probably seen his videos. He's got probably one of the largest viewed videos that I've seen in Sporting Clays with over, 1.5 million views?
Yeah, I think it's about that right now.
And several other ones that are up there with it. I mean, 200,000, I mean, 300, I mean, just unbelievable views. So it's kind of funny. I was talking to Zach. Zach was in Tennessee at the Southeast Regionals. And he said, I'm leaving here, going to Texas. You left Texas. You came back home, Savannah, almost hit the hurricane. I mean, you've been gone for like a month. What have you been doing?
Yeah, I went to Tennessee for that regional, which was a great shoot, by the way. Then I headed to San Antonio to meet up with Chris, was there for a week. And then early teal, got to hit some early teal in September in Texas. That was a great hunt. And then shot the Diamond Classic at Greater Houston, like we do most years.
How'd that turn out for you?
I shot okay. Not my best. Shot well. I placed third in the main, which is always good. Podium. Joe Finizzi's in fine form. We got our work cut out for us in the end of the month. But it was a good event.
Yeah. Very good. You always shoot the Diamond, don't you?
Yeah, you have to.
I've never been there. Is it good?
Greater Houston is one of the best clubs in the country.
Never been there either.
You got to come.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's awesome payouts. Probably the best trophy you can win in the sport in the United States. That they give a big diamond, different size diamonds for different events, but it is literally a diamond. It's not real diamond, but it looks like a real diamond.
Really?
It's not real. It's a really, really cool trophy. People that have been there, people that know, they know. Awesome event.
You know, now you're back up here. You're in Georgia again.
Desi and I taught for a couple days, I think, and then we headed home. We literally made it home about less than 24 hours before Ian kind of swung around Georgia.
Man, you talking about lucky?
We dodged a bullet. I mean, obviously some devastating stuff in Florida. That thing, it went out into the Atlantic east of Florida and just kind of swung around. Luckily, there was a high pressure system over Georgia, and it just went around us. I think when we got home, our forecast was for 50 mile an hour winds. Desi and I live on an island right on the coast, basically.
Is it like a personal island?
No.
That came on my island.
But a lot of pine trees. We have some huge, giant pine trees that would cut our house in half.
Yeah.
So I didn't really, Desi's real cavalier about it. She wanted to stay and ride it out. I wanted to leave. But when I woke up Thursday morning, I believe it was, the forecast was down to 25. And it got up to 40 mile an hour winds. We were fine. Luckily we've cut a lot of trees out since we've lived there, and it was not an issue. Less than a half inch of rain total. I know the radar, if you looked at TV or internet, you would think that Savannah was getting hammered with rain. We got less than a half an inch and just some wind. It wasn't bad at all.
Yeah. You know, we're in a text group and Ryan Harper's in Florida. And yeah. I just want to mention that he's doing a lot of work for a lot of people down there, like helping them out, taking them water.
Oh, yeah. They've got airboats. They're doing water and food and anything. You name it. They're trying to get it to people right now.
So even though Ryan, you know, I like messing with him, but he's doing something good.
Oh, he's doing very good.
Yeah. Shout out to them because there is still a lot of water where he's at.
There's a ton.
Yeah. They've got property there, kind of middle of the state there around Arcadia, and there's 8 foot of water and a lot of people.
He was right. He sent a video of an airboat going by a gas station and the pumps were nearly underwater. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you kind of think about that, you know, you're normally riding on the street,
right?
You know, but you're in an airboat.
You think Florida, you think dead flat. How could it flood? But sure enough.
Yeah, that's right. So anyway, you came up through Georgia today, stopping at Gator Creek, going to the meadows, shooting towers. How'd you do with shooting towers?
I missed a few. I do better on them with, anyway, we got the shot cam on the gun, and to me that it makes the gun really heavy and I just don't move it the same. And so I hit my share, but I missed quite a few.
Yeah. Gator Creek. We threw some pretty gnarly towers.
Yeah. Alex had us a big one set.
Well, Gator Creek's known for that.
Yeah. Good targets.
Yeah. So anyway, now you're here, we're recording this podcast. So what have you been traveling all over for? What are you doing?
So I guess this spring, Anthony Matteries, he calls me one day and he, you know, everyone knows how Anthony can talk. And he's like, all right, you're doing an instructional video. I'm like, I am. He's like, well, if you don't do it, I'm going to do it with someone else. But I think time for you. It's good. People want to hear what you have to say. It's good for your branding. And I think it'll be good. And I never wanted to do an instructional video. I thought I wanted to put some free stuff out on YouTube, stuff like that. But I wouldn't have done it without Anthony. And Chris and I are doing the video, obviously, together. But Anthony is a big part of it, whether it be just the outline and helping us put it together. I would, like I said, I would have never done it without him. It's just something that wouldn't have crossed my mind. I wouldn't have taken it on. But it's coming along. What do you think, Chris?
Yeah, I think it can be, you know, intimidating for someone to put themselves out there like that and put all their information. And, you know, Anthony and I are great partners. In the last video we did, just hearing the feedback and what everyone thought, you know, and we learned what to do for this one. And I think we've kind of taken those lessons and really made something special. So even though he missed a few towers today, I think, you know, we won't
editing,
show that.
Editing. Very, very good editing.
So you did Anthony's video.
Yeah.
That everybody's seen. If you haven't, you need to go watch it. And this kind of brings me to this. How did you get into doing this as far as instructional videos, even in shooting?
Yeah. So my great-grandfather is actually a film director. He did Little House in the Prairie, Bonanza. Oh. A lot of the old westerns. Twilight Zone. So really? I kind of grew up, you know, wanting to get involved and do that. And, you know, I started shooting. My mom did trap shooting. She's like, you should try it out. I did it and instantly it was really good. Started sporting clays and I think I made it to master in about 11 months. So I moved super quick and just, you know, got third on the podium in national sub junior that first year, which was nice. Pretty impressive. So I think it was kind of one of those things where your different passions just kind of align. And, you know, Gebbin, I did his quiet dust shooting video. It was the first instructional video that we did. And just, you know, back then there wasn't really too much out there in terms of instructional content and, you know, traveling and shooting and seeing how beneficial it was for people. I think that motivated me to kind of look into it a little bit more now that I'm out of college and going to do my own thing now. So
nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. And rarely do you see someone who has as much shooting experience as you do, as well as much film experience as you do, because you went to college for this. I mean, you went to school for film, but you understand what it's like to be the person with the gun shooting the target. So you have the perspective of both sides, which not a lot of people do, I think.
Yeah, I think it's a difficult sport to capture what you're actually experiencing. You know, there's such a connection to the target that if you don't shoot and kind of know what the shooter's experiencing in the moment, it's very difficult to capture in film.
We've talked about that before. How difficult is it to capture shooting sporting clays?
It's tough, man. I mean, I miss a lot of shots, you know. Zach's always like, oh man, we got all those on footage, right? Like, I just smoked like 10 in a row, you know. So,
do you ever think, oh god, I didn't get that, I might not have got that?
I think I've done it for so long now that I know what we got and what we need to keep shooting. You know, I always go one more, and he's like, one more shot or like two? Always two, because, you know, it's very difficult. Like, if you were just to film a target, you know, it'll look like a speck. You know, if you're not zoomed in and you're just kind of using a wide angle lens, like an iPhone, and just holding out, you'll get it on film, you know, you'll see it, but no one's really going to see what's going on. It'll be very small. So you gotta zoom in and kind of get that behind the shoulder perspective. You really want to show what the barrel is doing and see the target. So it's taking up a bit of the screen and it's not just very small. But yeah, it's not easy, especially if you're pulling focus and trying to get that all aligned. It's can get challenging to get it correct each time.
Zach brought up a good point earlier about this. We were talking about video and shots, and you asked, do you need to be a shooter to do it?
I think so. You got to know what, like Chris just said, you got to understand what the shooter's going through or looking at. Do you got to move with them? You got to rotate with the camera, just like the shooter's rotating with the gun. There's a lot to it.
What's your video going to be called? Do you know yet? Y'all know?
I forget. What is it called?
Shoot.
No. I mean, so all the videos that I'm producing, and I'm doing some other instructional videos for different industries. So we're doing one on dog showing as well. But they're all just foundation and advanced. So it's just the expert, you know, Zach, Heen Baum, Sporting Clays, foundation and advanced.
Nice.
Yep.
And it's going to be like, you got the disc, just like everything like Anthony has, the discs and the Blu-rays.
I think we're moving just to 4K streaming. You know, it seems for accessibility, it's very easy for someone to buy it. You know, any device they want to go on, they can log in. The quality is twice as good. You know, it's 4K compared to, you know, Blu-ray's only 1080p. You know, shipping, and it's difficult for me to get, you know, those initial orders when we first sell them. A lot of people, you know, it's a lot of DVDs. I had cases going to the UPS store with big boxes, and they're like, what are you doing?
You know, we were talking about this earlier, the cameras that you use. You know, I asked Chris, I said, what cameras are you using to do this? And I figured he's going to say, well, I'm using a Canon, but that's not the case. It's unbelievable at the amount of equipment that goes into making these videos.
Part of what we're trying to do is to make a product that's, you know, worth the investment, something that's special. And a big part of that is to, you know, invest in good equipment and team. You know, Zach had a crew of 15 people on his shoot. We had a nice size crew, really good lighting. We use Arri Alexa Minis, which are, you know, $400,000 cameras once they're all set up. And it's something that's going to be very hard for anyone to replicate. You know, that's if they want to try to make something as high a quality, and to get these professionals to do that, it's going to cost them a lot of money. You know?
So would you do this for anybody that wants to do it? Or are you picking and choosing who you want to do? How does that work?
I'm still deciding. You know, I want to kind of see, you know, I'm going through graduate school right now, so I'll be out of that in the next few months, and then I'll be able to kind of focus more on my own business. But, you know, it's kind of interesting to have it more exclusive and to have a select few kind of champions for that one sport.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I mean, you know, I love Sporting Clays, and I, you know, I love a lot of the shooters, and it would be really cool to work with more Sporting Clay shooters, but you know, we'll see.
Some of you may have heard the Super Squad at Nationals this year will be videoed. I know Thursday, Friday, Saturday is going to have interviews with shooters, and Sunday is going to have, from what I understand, live footage on the main event. And you're doing this. You're in charge of this, right?
Yep, I'm the lead videographer, but we're still kind of waiting to know what exactly is going to go on.
We don't know all the details, but he will be the one behind the camera. So if you're tuning in to YouTube, not able to catch the event live and in person, you can watch it on YouTube, and we'll see how that turns out. Should be cool. It's the first time they've ever done it. So
yeah, I mean, the Super Squads are just an exciting idea in general. So
what do you think about that?
I mean, you know, you can nitpick everything that you want, but I think it's a good idea. I think it's exciting. And obviously, this being the first year, we'll see how it goes. I think it adds more pressure maybe to shooters. I think it adds easier accessibility from a spectator standpoint. I think it evens the playing field, which is all the things that I imagine they hope to achieve.
Yeah. Everybody shoots the same rotation.
Yeah.
So if it's raining, windy, sunny, cloudy, whatever, everybody sees the same thing.
We shot a super rotation like this probably 10 years ago, 1 or 2 years.
Why didn't it work?
I think a couple of the top shooters complained about it. NSCA didn't want to hear the complaining, so they just did away with it. But it definitely adds to the drama, but makes it a little more exciting. We did this at the US Open this year at Rick Hemingway's Backwoods. It's different. It definitely takes you out for some people. But I think it kind of legitimizes the championship. It puts everyone on, like Desi said, it puts everyone on an even playing field, and we're all out there at the same time, same conditions. I like it.
Does it make you more nervous, less nervous? You know, I mean, everybody's nervous when you're shooting, especially a tournament this size. So are you more at ease shooting with people that are of your ability, or does it make you a little more tense to be? I mean, say you're shooting up, who you're shooting with in your super squad?
I forget. I think Braxton Oliver and Dan Callahan from Colorado.
Okay, so you know, you get up to a station and you miss one, and everybody's running the station. It's got to make you think, like,
in some ways, yeah, it could be like a little mini shoot off every station. You know, everyone's a good shot, but if you've shot on good squads in the past, it's not that much different. They're not your normal squad mates, but it's interesting. I think it's fun. It's good for the sport.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be different for sure. I've never seen it, so I think it'll be fun. What have you been working on? You been working on anything other than getting ready for the shoot? You been doing anything to get ready for it?
I've got some, not really. I'm not the big practice guy anyway. Everyone kind of knows that.
He's been practicing for 30 years.
Yeah. That's so much going on. We got this video we've been working on most of the year. This whole Thursday night thing's got me kind of nervous. The Hall of Fame banquet.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah. So going in the Hall of Fame, and I got my stepmom, family members coming.
Don't you have to make a speech?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's his preparation for Nationals. That's what I'm worried about.
Yeah, the shooting will take care of itself. I got that down. But yeah, just lots going on. Lots in my mind. So,
well, maybe it won't affect your shooting. It shouldn't. Thursday, at least it's Thursday. You get it out of the way.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to worry about it on Saturday night.
I'm more nervous about doing that speech, I'll be honest.
Have you already gotten it written? No. Are you going to write anything?
Going to have to, right?
Well, I would think so.
Yeah.
Some people just wing it.
Yeah.
I bet Desi could go up there and just wing it and do fine. But public speaking is not my strength.
If you ever want to see Zach without a hat, go to the Hall of Fame banquet. He won't have one on. So as far as Desi, you're shooting super squads too. I think there's a female rotation.
Yeah, so they're doing super squads just like they will for the men's. We're just on a different rotation. We'll do the 3:30 to start with on Thursday instead of the 8 a.m. And then they'll readjust on Saturday evening just like they do for the guys. and readdress the squads for Sunday.
Is it just too many people where they can all shoot at the same time on the same course?
You know, I don't know. I haven't really looked into it that much on why they did it that way or why not. I don't think it really matters either way, as long as all the ladies are on the same course at the same time.
Yeah. Another thing that I thought about, Zach, we're sitting here talking, Eric Harvey, Connor Daniel, Ryan Harper. I mean, they're all top of the game right now.
Oh, yeah.
And they're all, I mean, you've helped each one of those guys.
Yeah.
I mean, what have you been telling these people in order to get them to where they're at?
Oh, it's different for everyone else, but I'm not going to sit here and take credit for their shooting. They're doing it themselves. They got to point the gun. But I mean, I've started Connor since the beginning.
Right.
I started him when he first started. Ryan and Eric are experienced shooters. They know what they're doing. Just fine tuning, helping them. I've had people ask me, like, do you give everyone information? I've never held back for anyone. I would help anyone that wants to get better at shooting. It's a hard game. Like Ferdy Anthony say recently, it's hard enough. We're not hiding information or anything. But I've helped a lot of people over the years.
Yeah. Those three are the ones. I mean, you see all three of the names, especially Connor and Sub Junior, and then Ryan winning second at Worlds, and Eric winning third at Worlds.
Yeah.
I mean, that's got to make you feel, at least
it does. It definitely. Yeah. Oh yeah. When your students are doing well.
Yeah. And Eric's on fire. Like
the score he shot on Sunday in Tennessee was fantastic.
Yeah.
I kind of fell off. I was shooting well that weekend. And after the event, I'm thinking back, well, you got no excuse, right? Eric's shooting right next to you. And he put up a 99 on Sunday.
I think Eric should give credit to his little baby boy, Rhett. He's got the baby love right now, so he's shooting really good.
Yeah. He's always got Rhett with him. Well, other than the Southeast, I didn't see him.
Yeah, they weren't.
They didn't make it.
They weren't there, but.
So, Nationals coming up a few weeks. There's a lot of people going. I think there's 21 or 2,200 people, I think, registered now. What are some things that people can do to prepare for this?
Well, I mean, kind of what Zach was talking about earlier, how he's not practicing, but just kind of getting everything in order before you go, making sure your equipment's good, making sure you have everything you need, get your life in order so that you're not trying to do everything while you're there. That's the hardest thing to do at Nationals is try and take care of life and shoot the best you've ever shot all year at the same time. So just something simple like that. You know, order the new pair of tennis shoes if you want to wear a new pair of tennis shoes.
That's what I do.
Do that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. My,
you know,
I can remember being a sub junior, little kid. And that was my thing. My mom would let me, she would take me shopping and we'd get a brand new pair of tennis shoes for any big, big shoot like that. But whatever. I mean.
So are you going to do it?
I don't know. We'll see.
Zach's always got the cool tennis shoes.
Yeah, he'll probably go shopping.
He didn't put that tip in the video. So you might have to add a little section.
Yeah. You're always so stylish. Bags, shoes.
I'm a gear guy. Yeah.
Are you?
You are too. What do you?
Yeah.
I mean, I have some stuff.
I just saw Justin's garage. He's a gear guy.
So, all right, you get there. That's the thing with when I go. It's just such. It's so hard to get everything together. You get through the airport. You get there. You get a rental car. And if all that stuff isn't lined up, it can really throw a wrench in things.
Right. Well, Chris was talking about earlier, you know, a lot of good filming that he does, it's preparation. If you want it to be good, you've got to prepare for it. So it's not just the shooting aspect of it, but making sure everything else is in line so you're not stressing out about it or last minute trying to do something. Now, obviously, life is life. You can't, you know, perfectly plan out everything. But just trying to be prepared for everything else that you can control is a great help.
Yeah.
And then obviously there's the shooting portion of it.
So how do you get prepared for that? You know, you're going to go over there, you're going to see black targets in the blue sky. And you're going to see, I mean, from what I can remember, they're 75% of them always been belly. You know, I mean, you might disagree with that, but I feel like every target I see is belly over there.
There's everything. They're going to throw everything at you, but nothing over the top. Nothing like the U.S. Open this year, everything's going to be hittable. They're going to be challenging. There's going to be, you know, it's not easy, but not the most crazy targets you've ever seen. Just practice your quartering, your shallow quartering, your deep quartering, into crossing, You're going to have a few towers. You probably have a tower on every different course or every event. They're going to throw everything they can at you, but there's not crazy terrain.
Nah.
It's fairly flat. It's kind of rolling down. I mean, the property kind of goes down, but just get on top of your game, seeing the bird. They're going to make everything visible. Work on your vision, seeing the bird well at the trigger. Just kind of all around. Practice a little bit of everything. That's what's crazy about sporting clays. You could practice for a month and not practice the same targets you're going to see.
Yeah.
So just work on your overall game. They're going to throw it all.
I'm just thinking about different things. You've got a new set of glasses, Pela glasses that you've been wearing. How do you like those? You've shot the same lenses for.
I've shot Pela forever, but I've always worn the ED lenses, the kind of that amber brown tints. Back even when high def specs or Pela first came out, I was shooting a similar lens. They've come out with obviously updates to those, better versions of those. But I found myself in a couple super finals or shoot offs at nationals where you're shooting in low light. And I've come to realize that I really can't see in low light. I can see okay when the lights come on, but it's that hour of dusk, that half hour of dusk where I've really struggled. I mean, I can think of two World English super finals where I was terrible, including this year. And I remember David Radulovich coming up to me about a month after that. And he's like, I think you might be some kind of colorblind or something. There's something you can't shoot that good during the day. And then all of a sudden can't hit anything. So there's something going on. And I, thanks to you, Justin, you put me in touch with Dennis Springer at Clay Target Vision. And he came up with some different ideas on some high contrast lenses, which to me, when I've looked through stuff like that in the past, I didn't think it worked, but it was during the middle of the day. At night, I really need contrast. I need to see the orange, whereas I was not with those just brown, middle of the day lenses that I've always used. Dennis has really helped with a couple different lens options that I think are going forward going to be a game changer for me personally.
What lenses are those?
I don't even remember. It's
he's shooting a 52 CIHC. They're all high contrast stuff. But the new infrared, so I think it's the 52C or 54 CIHC is the one that you've shot the last couple times that really helped for you. And everybody's different, but he definitely sent you some high contrast stuff.
Yeah, I had a main event last shoot off of the night at the Diamond, and it was, dark. No lights, but dark. I mean, normally I wouldn't have been able to hit anything, and I won both shoot offs. Two rounds of the same shoot off, but I shot really well, and it definite improvement.
So the glasses, you think, help, man?
The lenses, no doubt, no question in my mind.
Yeah, and like Zach said, I mean, Dennis, you credit him to that because there are so many lenses that Pela puts out right now, so it can be a little intimidating, and unless you look through every single lens, that information is important to get just to narrow it down. And he has all of that. I mean, he knows kind of what areas you need to look in and everything that he picked out. I mean, I'm pretty familiar with all the lenses that they make, and everything he picked out for you was definitely the path that I would have sent you on as well. And it worked.
Yeah. That's good. You like them frames too, don't you?
Oh yeah. They got some cool stuff.
Yeah. So check them out for some lenses. Let's talk about this video again. What are you covering in this video? Do you line this up, Chris? Is this your, all right, we're going to do this today, this tomorrow? I mean, is this how that works?
So basically, we kind of spend a good amount of time getting the outline ready. So, we split the video up into a foundation, an advanced video.
Right.
And basically, like a book, we try to chapter it up. So we break down, foundationally, the sport. What do you have to teach someone that's just getting into it from start to finish? And Anthony and I, when we did ours together, I think we were thinking of it more from our perspective of what, foundational shooter's thinking. And through doing the one on dog showing, because I've never been involved in dog showing, that was like super fresh eyes for me.
So you got an instructional video on how to show a dog.
We're working on one of those right now as well. So from that video, we actually pulled a lot of really actually fundamental stuff that someone that's never picked up a shotgun before, knows what sporting clays is, needs to know. So Zach, you know, and Anthony, the three of us kind of crafted this new outline together. And, you know, basically I was trying to get it all scripted out before. I wasn't sure if, you know, we're spending a lot of money on these interviews, and if someone can't perform and they struggle through the whole thing, that can be it, you know?
Yeah.
So it's always good to have the option to throw it on a teleprompter and just get it filmed. But that's not how it worked out. And basically I just had to direct Zach and get him comfortable as we went, and it turned out really nice. You know, I think there's something special about going off the cuff that you don't really get from being scripted. You know, you get better stories. It's more natural. Just takes a little bit of coaching and directing, I think.
Anthony and Chris and I think it was like 2 months straight. We'd do a Zoom meeting every Monday night. We would get together on Zoom, and just, we started with an outline, and then Anthony and I'd go through. I'd make notes on the outline, what I want to hit, and I was nervous the whole time. There's no doubt. I mean, Desi could tell you when I flew from the Georgia State Sunday night out to LA to film with Chris, and I was kind of a nervous wreck for a couple of weeks leading into that. Anthony was real calming in it. He tells me, just imagine you're giving Chris a lesson. And Chris and I are real comfortable together. I've coached Chris a lot when he was young, sub junior in California. So we've known each other. We're very comfortable together. And that's kind of how it went. It was a little rocky at first. Chris could probably expand on that, but it came out pretty good.
Was it the makeup artist that you had? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Zach had a makeup artist.
Oh yeah. I mean, we had a problem with the air conditioning the first day, so he's a little sweaty. So they had to get in there and do some nice makeup on him. But she did a good job. You know, he doesn't seem like he has makeup, which is what you want with a good makeup artist. You don't want it to be noticeable. But I think he was shocked, you know, probably like he hasn't seen me direct or like work in a big production. Like, I think the last thing we worked on together was his documentary. Like, I made a documentary in high school.
And yeah, I didn't know this.
Oh, God.
It was just me with my camera, and it was good. It was fun.
He got an A on that project, by the way.
Is this the one where you had the San Francisco hat on?
Yeah.
Yeah, for those who haven't seen it, it's on YouTube.
Desi, don't.
I've watched it.
What? It was good work. It was some of Chris's OG work.
That's when you had on the long hair and the glasses.
Yeah, my hair was terrible. Yeah.
Your style has evolved just like you're shooting.
I was shooting a high rib. That's how long ago that video was. I was shooting a high rib Perazzi. And my disdain for a high rib is well documented, and it's from that era.
Wow. It's a long time ago. So I keep bringing this stuff up. It's not a cheaply done video.
No.
Makeup artist. No. $500,000 cameras.
The content is really, really good. The production value is better than any shooting video that's ever been done. I can guarantee you that.
When's it coming out?
We're looking probably the end of November, early December right now. Yeah, we have once we do the interview, you know, and we got most of the footage already, you know, it's now time to animate and clean it up. So we have a lot of different diagrams. Anthony's been watching it today and sending us a bunch of notes on his diagrams. He likes to draw little stuff. And the last video we did, I animated most of it by myself, which I'm not, you know, that's not my specialty. So this time around, we're going to do a better job and, you know, really try to get those concepts across so people understand what he's trying to explain.
What is that called?
The animation?
Yeah, you called it something earlier.
The animations in this one's a little different. We're doing made in a software called Cinema 4D. So it's looks photorealistic, which is really cool. So a lot of people we showed some people at the NSCA when we went there to film at Nationals. And they're like, when did you guys come here and film the stadium? And we're like, no, we didn't film the stadium. It's all 3D modeled. It's like Toy Story.
Yeah, so you create the scene out of nothing. I mean, it's basically what you're doing.
So you could be shooting in your backyard and you can make it look like he's shooting in the stadium from the National Shooting Complex.
So there's no actual shooting going on. We're basically that you can download, you know, files of grass, files of stands. Mm-hmm. You can build a scenario like a video game, but it looks photorealistic like a movie. And then you can move a camera around in 3D space and film. So we used it to kind of capture the feel of a stadium and used it for titles and kind of the introductory sequence. Now we're kind of taking it to the next level and throwing targets and kind of showing, you know, this is maintain lead or pull away and kind of how that looks in 3D space. Because it's actually not as difficult once you have the models built to do that than it is to even like draw it out and to like animate the drawings, you know.
That's pretty wild.
It's very cool.
You going to show like pellets hitting the target?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've seen some of the animation and there's kind of a teaser out or something with a little bit of the animation that you've already done, I think.
Yeah, we have a basic one. We actually use that as a test to get kind of like some feedback from people and little small things like, you know, the firing pins not hit on the shells, you know, the lever wasn't exactly like the DT-11 design. So we used that to get some feedback from people and then we refined it so the actual video is perfect. So yeah, we might delete that one and just throw one that's updated now.
Nice.
But that's how detail oriented you've been on this whole production of this. Yeah. The instructional video. I mean, all the way down to the firing pin looking like it got hit or the primer looking like it got hit in the animation. That's just the introduction.
And Desi's just sitting over here. We need to talk about Desi for a minute.
I'm just the driver.
Shooting good. Speaking of shooting good.
She's shooting better, yeah.
She's shooting good.
It's been a while.
With an automatic.
Yeah, it's been almost a year since just over a year since I started shooting the automatic again.
You liking it?
Yeah, I love it.
Never go back to an over and under.
I don't want to say never, but...
No plans.
Yeah, no plans to. I think I'm just now to the point again where I'm feeling really comfortable with it. Like I'm not second guessing the way it moves and how it moves and my body can really relax at the trigger. But yeah, I mean, it's been almost a year that it's taken me to get to that point where I can relax that much at the trigger.
That's I've heard that, you know, it takes so long to when you're shooting a new gun to get used to it.
Yeah. And recoil was the big issue before. So, I mean, the good news is it's gone away, you know, the flinching and kind of the hesitation at the trigger. In the last couple of tournaments, I did shoot better than I have been, for sure. I've been gaining a little bit more confidence back. And again, it's just getting comfortable with the gun and tailoring my shooting style a little bit. There are certain things I can do better with this than I could with the over-under and other things that I had to work a little bit harder at to change. But it's a good time, right? Because October is when you want to be shooting your best, so...
And then it's over.
Yeah, gaining a little bit of confidence before then was perfect timing for me.
Yeah, good. And then you quit this, you're finished with this shoot, and then you go home, and where are you going, Alaska after that?
No, we already did Alaska. I went up and visited the parents. We will go to California. We'll do the West Coast stuff for his family. After Nationals, we always go there for Thanksgiving, and we do some instruction at a private... I guess ranch or, you know, sporting clays range. It's like this big giant valley with wireless machines. Oh, it might be one of my favorite places to shoot.
In my opinion, it's the coolest looking and terrain private. One person owns this one private shooting range in the United States. Bar none. It's incredible. The guy goes to, historically, he's gone over to Europe a lot to shoot driven game. And so he's got, it's a little box canyon. And the crossers that you shoot from on the main platform down below turn into huge driven shots. So, I mean, you can simulate a ton of different really, really cool boarding and feed test presentations. And we've gone, I mean, I've been teaching there for like a dozen years.
Yeah.
And we go there for Thanksgiving every year and then go visit some family, try to do some hunting.
I'll say then it's hunting season.
It is.
We get to go to Arkansas.
Yeah, we'll do that in January.
Yeah.
I got quite a few trips planned on the books already for this duck season.
Where?
Good. Arkansas, Wyoming, the North Platte River, California.
With John?
A couple trips to California with John Wills.
Mm-hmm.
And then back to Arkansas with you.
That's fun. Oh, yeah. That'd be good. You're going to kill the most with us, though.
We'll see. That North Platte, they're talking all greenheads at 15 yards.
Ooh, that would be fun.
Yeah.
Have you done that yet?
No. And then the timber in Stuttgart, that should be fun.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's what I want to do, some timber. Shoot some ducks in timber. Mm-hmm. That would be fun.
Reminds me, speaking of hunting and the gear guy, he's been all, you know, tricking out his hunting guns. And he's a big A300 lover, the Beretta A300. And they had come out with the Ultima since then. And I think he already has three of them.
What? 20 gauge?
Two 20s.
So is that what you're going to hunt with?
Oh, yeah. That teal hunt, I'm obviously, teal are small ducks, but they're easy to kill. But I'm not going to shoot a 12 gauge this year until we go. We go on a conservation goose hunt every year in February. That'll probably be the first time I shoot a 12 gauge at a bird.
Have you modified the gun at all?
Not really. I run some Briley chokes. Other than that, they're stock. I am going to send a couple of them off to get Cerakoted.
Yeah. Stormy gave me some of those chokes that you had when we went.
Oh, those extended long range?
Yes.
That's an awesome choke.
Yeah.
Awesome for lead, too. I mean, when we go, anyone that's seen Desi and I's Instagram, we do a lot of pigeon hunting out in the desert. And long range, even with lead. But that choke was actually designed for steel shot. But I like to hunt with Brileys. I just always have. They just work really well.
Yeah. Yeah.
You shot that 20 gauge at Nationals last year, didn't you?
When the A300 Ultima first came out last year, I grabbed one off the rack. I swapped the shims, got it to fit me pretty good. And I went out and I tied for HOA at the Nationals in the 20 gauge event with an off the rack demo gun.
And you don't normally shoot those anyway.
I used to. I've talked about these on this podcast before, but I used to shoot a lot of sub gauge. Hadn't in probably 4 or 5, 6 years. Yeah, and Eric Harvey and I decided to shoot the 20 and 28 last year. We had a lot of fun. We're going to do it again this year.
Are you?
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Nationals coming up. You hear horror stories that the crime in San Antonio is always an issue, but it's, I will always have just a huge love for that shoot. When I was a kid, in the early 1990, 1991, when I was first getting into the game, that was the Super Bowl. And in my heart of hearts, it still is the Super Bowl. That is the shoot I look forward to every year, pulling through those gates. I've talked about it before. It's just a special feeling. That's why Chris and I told Chris when we were planning on the night shooting in this video, I said, I really want to do it in the stadium. I want to do it in San Antonio. That's the, in my opinion, the most iconic location for sporting clays and skeet in the United States. And that's where we're doing, that's where we did a lot of the night shooting. Some other places, we've shot a lot of other clubs as well, but it's just a special place. Be smart. They use the gun vault there at the club. Leave your guns there.
Do you use the gun vault?
I don't. I'm telling everyone to, but I don't.
No, well, I mean, it makes sense.
We stay at one of the Hyatt properties, and it's very, very safe. But I will tell you, we do not stop anywhere between the gun club and
the
our room. Just be smart.
Don't drive a Ford.
Yeah, I've had a truck stolen there, an older Ford without all the computer stuff in it. That was at a regular hotel. I think if you're flying in, if you're in a rental car, you're totally safe. It is a non-issue. I wish people wouldn't make it sound as crazy as it is. Obviously, people have had some bad luck. I've had bad luck too, but I mean, that can happen in any big city. Again, be smart no matter whether you're in San Antonio or you're anywhere. I mean, I'm conscious of that stuff all the time. Just make good decisions.
Yeah, it can be dangerous out there.
Yeah, and on the topic of kind of preparing for Nationals, obviously we're just talking about getting your ducks in a row, but everybody's at a different stage in their shooting. Going into Nationals and just in general, and I think in terms of preparing for Nationals, depending on where you're at in that level, if you have an obvious hole in your game, you need to practice that before you go. If there's a specific target that you have trouble hitting, you need to go out and shoot that target until you are fully confident in it, because chances are you'll probably see it. unless it's something crazy. Because you will get a little bit of everything at Nationals. You'll get all your angles, all your speeds, and it's over 4 days for most people that are shooting it. So definitely practice that weak spot in your game. If you don't feel like you have a weak spot, like Zach said, just fine-tuning. It's just kind of getting in the groove, getting your timing right, feeling confident in general. You don't have to go out and practice the hardest targets because you probably won't be seeing the hardest targets you've ever seen at Nationals.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's the easy targets. They're not fun to practice, but those are the targets that you need to shoot a little bit before, whether it's because it's giving you confidence or just to, you know, get you in the groove of things. In terms of a mental game, again, everybody's kind of at a different stage. Nationals is very pressure packed. Everybody wants to do well there. So just being simple as you can with that and being concrete with it. Just be prepared before you even get there. You're not trying to figure out a mental routine 2 days before the Nationals and hoping that it works.
Yeah.
So practice that while you're, you know, before Nationals, when you're out practicing, practice what you go through, what you want to go through in your head. Nationals is one shoot that we shoot a lot of two pair stations, which we don't most of the year. So you're shooting 75 birds and we're used to 100 bird round. So you have to be able to start out of the gate, ready to go and be really strong. I mean, right away. It is an endurance race over a 4 day period, but the course is very short. Yeah. So being able to walk up to a stand and make a really solid plan and try and execute that immediately, I think is one big challenge at that shoot. Mm-hmm. Sometimes at other regionals, and obviously we're shooting other events, but you can kind of get into a groove throughout the weekend. And there, you need to be ready to go that first station you go to. And on a two-pair stand, you better have a good idea of what you want to do. Because
I don't recall two-pair stands.
Oh, yeah.
It's 10 stands, 75 targets. Oh, it's 3 and 4 pair.
I thought that they would throw the golden ticket would be like a two pair stand.
Yeah, I mean, I maybe there's not a lot. I just feel like it is.
No, that's a two pair stand, isn't it?
When you have it's a single and 3 pair, 7.
That's what we're thinking of, Desi.
Okay, well, I'm obviously really bad at math. okay, we'll say 3 pair stand.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of tournaments, I feel like we shoot 4.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But yeah. Okay,
we got your point, Desi.
Yeah, negate that.
No, but I think what she's not wrong in the sense that those courses shoot fast. To me, it's like 4 sprints.
Yes,
like the you're gonna shoot the round. I mean, a lot of people finish in 1 hour and 15 minutes, which is unheard of for a round of sporting clays. But it is only 75, and everything runs like clockwork. That shoot has been well documented on these podcasts. Everything runs great. There's no backups. And it does it. You're going to shoot between an hour and a half, you're going to be done. It's going to feel like you just started compared mm-hmm. to other rounds.
Mm-hmm.
And it is 4 days. It's just different. It's a different animal. It's awesome. I love it.
Yeah.
But that's one thing over the years that I feel like I've constantly felt at Nationals is it's like it's a endurance race, but it's a sprint that day. You don't have as much time between stations to collect your thoughts or regroup or do things that you might normally get to do on a really heavy 100 bird course, really packed rotation. So again, keeping all of that simple and being just really confident and concrete in those plans, I think is a good way to practice for Nationals. It's not one specific shot or one specific bird, but just kind of being mentally ready for that.
Yeah. Well, good. I'm ready to go. You ready to go, Zach?
I'm ready.
You ready to go, Chris?
Well, I'm not ready. I haven't done my speech.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
We're supposedly working together, so we'll see how it goes.
We'll see how that... Can I make fun of you if I see you?
No.
I mean...
You're going to anyway, so... But no.
You think I will?
Yeah.
No, I won't. All right, guys. Thanks for coming in. I appreciate you stopping by.
Thank you.
Thank you. By the way, we're in Justin's new podcast studio at the house. I've seen several iterations of his studio, and this is awesome. I like it.
You like it?
Yeah. Oh yeah. He made the table.
It's a beautiful table.
Mm-hmm. He made the table.
Yeah, I like my table.
You need to post a photo of your new table on your Shotgun Sports USA Instagram. But yeah,
it's very comfortable. Cool. It's a little different than next to the nail salon, but
what's that?
The original, or
that wasn't the original. Remember your podcast studio in the strip mall?
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Which was cool, by the way.
The nail salon was next door.
He liked it because it had his picture hanging up in there. All right. Well, I appreciate it. We'll talk to y'all later.
All right. Thanks, Justin. All right. Thanks.